All right, Wednesday evening, 4/26/23. The title is Pay the Price, Win the Prize. All right. I remember Brother Hagin saying one time that it pays to serve God. It costs. You know, a lot of people say it costs. No, he said it pays. And I agree with him. It does. Only the best can come to anyone by serving the Lord. Doesn't mean it's always easy. Yeah. I mean, God is life, and He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. There's not any other way. You know, you look around you, and there's so many in the world today that don't have a clue. And you think, how are they going to find out? Well, I guess they're going to hear somebody. But still, you think, that's just, so many have chosen the other path. Oh, it's just too hard to serve God. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that so many times out of Christians' mouths. It's just too hard to serve God. I'm thinking, you ought to be where we sit. Think you died and gone to hell. I mean, really, literally at times. You think, you know, I know when we first came into it, you know, as babies, you just, everything, you know, the Lord accommodates you when you're first born again, you know, and nothing touches your life. Not really. You just live your life. Then you get older in the Lord and you start really doing the things that the Lord's called you to do, and then you go, oh my gosh, I never knew it was supposed to be this way. And to find out that it was really, that's the normal Christian life. So if it's so hard, then how did the 12 do it? Or the 11? How'd they do it? Well, we're going to look at that. All right, the Apostle Paul made this statement. This is in Philippians chapter 3. We're just going to read quite a few scriptures here in Philippians 3 and 4. I hear my grandkids say that, it's just too hard. I don't understand nothing. And I say, just keep on reading. One of these days you will. You're feeding your spirit man. They don't understand that you can't feed on the things of the world and expect to grow as a Christian. You just can't. All right, Philippians 3, we'll start with verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I know Danny had I don't know which word it was, but it was about the cleansing, how God is cleansing and purging. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Do you ever feel that way? You look up and think, where did my life go? I mean, we chose. God called us. God woke us up and we chose to put aside what we enjoyed and what we were doing to do what He wanted us to do. Because we knew our nation was in trouble. I mean, we knew it all along, but we didn't really know it. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not complaining about giving up the things that I enjoy for the kingdom. I do it gladly. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Is that what's going on? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but a follow after, if I might, that I may apprehend that, wait a minute, read that again, follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Prize there means an award. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. See, that's my desire, is the whole body of Christ is walking as one. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's so much stuff out there that Christians are saying that are just so off. I go, Lord, I don't know what to say about that. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, none of us have it all right. I know that. I'm not pretending to know everything. It's far from it. You know, God usually gives us a peace or a way that we walk in that he gives us enlightenment on, and that's our call. But there's a lot of other people that have other pieces, you know. All right. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Dias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, or things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me doing, the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. These are things that put him over. These are the type of thinking patterns that he followed to get him from the place that he was begging the Lord to take something off of him, and the next thing he was shaking it off. I know both how to be abused, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. In other words, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't matter what. What are you laughing about? Is that what I said?
Oh, yeah.
Abased, sorry. But I think he could probably put abused in there. Well, hey, he said, I'm all things to all men. I mean, you know, you hit me, whatever. You're not going to get a response out of me. You know, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. See, he had to work. He's a tent maker. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Prize award. We're looking for the day that Jesus steps his foot here. He is bringing his reward with him. This is Revelation 22:12. We'll look at it, but he's bringing it with him. I'm thinking, bah, he must have that horse he's on must be a big one. He's bringing all the rewards with him. It's not just good rewards either. This is 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to every man according as his works shall be. Yeah, right here, Strong's, it means pay for services, good or bad. You know, if you read the Faith Hall of Fame, you see people that stood when it wasn't easy to stand. And the Bible is really about these people and what they did by faith. Their stories are told. And we're going to read it because, like I said, I believe there's a continuation of that Hall of Fame. You don't see any of the New Testament people in it. You just see the Old Testament. I mean 11, not 12.
Where are we heading?
Hebrews 11. I'll just say this, there's a lot of pressure in this chapter that the men and women of God suffered. I can identify with it as well as you. They did not buckle under the pressure, and neither will you. All right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Oh, I've said it before. God is a faith God from Genesis 1. You can read it all through the whole Word of God. God don't change. He's a faith God. And I'm thinking, it's a wonder Christians are successful, because I know very few that actually walk in the Word of faith. I'm thankful that we learned the Word of faith and how to operate in that. Because without faith, it says, and we'll read here in verse 6, it's impossible to please God, it says. All right. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that what the Lord is having us do now? I ask for y'all's prayers for wisdom. There's some stuff the Lord has spoken to me. It may be an added thing on our list. It's something that's kind of, I think I knew, but it kind of shocked me, and I'm not going to speak about it really in detail, but I do need your prayers that I can bring it forth the way he wants me to. But it's about changing things in our nation. Right here, the worlds were framed. What worlds? The worlds that have existed from the beginning, off and on. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it He being dead yet speaketh. He lost his life because he was righteous. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He is a faith guy. Right here. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I should have looked up that word diligent. That's someone that stays at it. You don't just hit and miss. You stay at it. It's your life. It consumes you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The whole world went down that day, except Noah and his family. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. This guy left everything pretty well. God didn't even tell him where he is going either. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he's heading to a destination. Though through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. This is quite a miracle. I know somebody right now that their daughter, they've lost their son. They had a son and a daughter. They lost their son. And the daughter has done everything and can't conceive. You know, nothing's impossible with God. Therefore sprang there even of one him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as sand which is by the seashore innumerable. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. In other words, they didn't see Messiah come. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. That's what I'm wanting, heaven and earth. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now think about this. He didn't know that he wasn't going to have to kill his boy. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He never did go home. Sad, but he never did get to go home. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now think about this. He's raised as the son of Pharaoh, possibly to be the next Pharaoh. But when he found out, or he knew, whenever he come to that knowledge, he chose God's plan over that. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, attained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Blue beam. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these gave up things for God. All right, for a better promise, better than what the earth or what a natural life could produce. Yeah. All right. There's a lot of pressure there in all that chapter, a lot of stuff. They all had their trials and went through things. I mean, think about the three Hebrew children. They had to go in the fire. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. Yeah. Maintaining our stance will assure us the prize. Whatever the Lord calls us to do or asks of us to do, just consider this. The hard times that we have been going through are not for naught. They're for a reason. All right. Now, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Isn't this what the devil wants? You to get so weary in your mind. That's where you faint first. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have not forsaken the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How do you think Paul got to that place? Like this. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Because it's always for his good. Fathers do it for their good. But God does it for your good. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I put here lame brains. This is mental. I'm not talking really physical. It's mental. So you don't faint in your mind. Because see, that's where the devil targets. Made in our stance will assure us the prize. Okay, a lot in Hebrews tonight. Hebrews 3. All right, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. Who hath builded? For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Yeah. Now I want to go over to Luke 22. This is Luke 22, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, he told him that because he's fixing to deny the Lord three times. Right there, he tells him. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You know, and he went and wept bitterly over what he did. So the Lord knew he was going to have a test of his faith like he had never had. He could have fainted in his mind. Satan could have sifted him. That's where he does it, in your mind. Yeah. Sift here means to riddle. Riddle. Figuratively, sift. Here's what just Merriam-Webster's what riddle is. A mystifying, misleading, or puzzling question posed as a problem to be solved, an enigma or a conundrum. In other words, to keep you befuddled. Keep you in a befuddled state. Doubting, not knowing what's going on, back and forth, up and down, just all over the place. A befuddled mind. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail. Not only Peter, but us too, as our faithful high priest. Danny had a word where the Lord said, I prayed for you. Now, you thought there wasn't anybody praying for you, but I prayed for you. I thought, well, I never considered that, but if he prayed for Peter, he's a priest, high priest of our confession, he prays for us. That gives me great comfort to know that when you to the place that you don't feel like you have anybody standing in your corner, he's praying for you as a high priest. Okay? I can identify with Peter. How about you? Isn't it a good thing that we walk by faith and not by how we feel? This is 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And I looked up faith, sight, and walk. Faith is persuasion. Credence, that's your confessions. You ever heard about like cadence? Like military cadence. Moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Abstractly, consistency in such profession. By extension, the system of religious truth itself, the gospel, assurance, and believing. Sight, a view, form, appearance, fashion, or shape. Walk here, to tread all around, walk at large, to live, deport oneself, follow, go be occupied with. That's good. Just to keep on a walking. Don't stop. All right. I like what Jerome Corsi said, had to say about Donald Trump. This is what he said. It always looks like Donald Trump is losing right up until the time he wins. Doesn't that fit right into the walk of faith? Yeah. President Trump tells graduates to never quit, and that for you to win, you will have to choose the road less traveled. That's what Jesus said. All right, Matthew 7. This is Matthew 7:13. He said, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Boy, we're finding that's true, aren't we? That's why there's so few in the Faith Hall of Fame as compared to the whole Bible. I like the Amplified version of this. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it." I like it. To me, this is the picture I get when I read that. There's a park bench. Oh, the flowers and the birds and trees on that broad path. Just enjoy. That's the path of least resistance. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way straightened and compressed that leads away to life and fear those who find it. I see a conveyor belt in this, just hands coming out trying to hit you with it, their claws and all that kind of stuff. Just, yeah. Sounds like being sifted, doesn't it? Yeah. It's just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and eventually you win. You just don't give up. That's what he meant. President Trump does not quit, and he does not give up. That's why he always wins. Yeah. When you think you can no longer do it, just take another step. Don't say, "I can't do it." Just say, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Take that other step. When you think you can't. When you think you can't, that's the time you can. So when you have to do it. All right. Go back to Hebrews 10. This is 10:32. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of my goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Your soul's that mind. Do not allow the devil to sift you or befuddle you. Okay, a few more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start with 17 there, 4:17. "I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeding have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's the way you used to live. You used to think. The things you used to do. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If there's anything I could get across to believers is this. The spirit. The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit. That is the focus and the aim. That's where we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the inner life that puts you over. Not all this hard work to try to make yourself better on the outside. No, it's about the inside. Because if you'll do the inside, it'll quicken your mortal body. A strong inside will make a healthy outside. But everybody are all caught up in all these things that we got to do. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put off the old man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This is how you strengthen the inner life here. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I remember hearing Charles Capps saying, I'd rather cuss than say a word that would affect my faith. Like a negative word. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then he goes on to talk about all kinds of works of the flesh. I'm telling you, this stuff comes from an unrenewed mind. It becomes the devil's playground. You think, how could they do that? Well, they listened to the devil. That's how they could do it. All right, Mark 4. Talk about not being sifted. Mark 4:13. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel stronger than you used to? At first, everybody's just so in shock and grief and what in the world? Isn't that the truth? And as you begin to walk it and walk it and walk it, you begin to gain ground and you begin to get strong and you begin to realize, you know, what the weapons of your warfare are, not carnal. All right, Mark 4. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are the people that you've been trying to reach for 30 years and you have made no headway at all. And those are they which are sown among thorns, that just hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth some fruit, some 30, 60, 100 fold. That's the way it's supposed to be. All right. Next to the last scripture, Matthew 16. Twenty-eight. 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Talk about the flesh here. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Every one of us has a cross. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, it's the transfiguration. Just think about what Jesus is saying here. He's telling them how he would suffer on the cross. But he had to carry it first. Simon stepped up and helped him carry it. The Lord said to me, I help you carry yours too. That's what grace is. The cross. You think, why this, Lord? It's teaching you what you need to learn to make you better. We have to look at it that way. By his grace. Remember the footprint prayer? There was only one set of footprints, and you thought, I was walking alone. The Lord said, no, I was carrying you. All right, one more scripture. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is an upbeat prayer here in the midst of a trial. Through the valley of the shadow of death. When Satan is coming against your mind and all this stuff, everything's positive here. That's what the Lord's doing for us. All of this during that time. See, when you learn to see that and say, I know you're with me, and you don't let it get you down, you're gaining ground. Satan has less in you than he had before. The Lord's getting us to the place that we just...